So, we are in the Advent season. Last week we had the sermon on hope, and this week I'm going to talk about the peace of the Lord that passes all natural understanding. When we looked at Mary and the angel coming to her, Gabriel, saying, Mary, you're going to have a child. And she knew she was virgin, and that's real important to our faith, that it was a virgin birth. It fulfilled a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 in the Old Testament that said, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. So Mary, having Gabriel come to her, and imagine yourselves having an angel show up saying, you're going to have a child. She had intrepidation and fear, and the angel had to tell her, fear not, this is the Lord that's going to be with you. And the Lord doesn't want us to have fears. He wants us to have peace. And the way we continue in having our peace in Him is to remove ourselves, our minds, our soulish area of our mind and our will and our emotions from the way of the world and the dictates of the world, which we know is under the Antichrist spirit. Everything, if you turn on your news, which I don't watch anymore, other maybe than 3 minutes here and there just to see if we're at war. Other than that, I don't want to hear the lies of the world because it promotes fear. Every advertisement on TV is trying to minister sickness and disease to people, which comes with fear. And as a man believes in his heart, so is he. If we begin to take this in and believe it, and that, oh, I have to do this and I have to do that, based on fear, then we're going to find ourselves snared by the works of the enemy. And the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Welcome. But God comes to give us life and to give that to us in abundant. Abundant life embraces health. Abundant life embraces health of mind, of attitude, of choices that we make. We embrace peace of God. He said, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So to demonstrate our sonship with the Father, we must walk in the peace of the Holy Spirit. And how do we maintain that peace? It's by staying in the Word, staying washed in the water of the Word, by talking to the Lord. That's prayer, is staying in fellowship and communion with God the Father through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said that we can go boldly before the throne of grace and find need or find help in our time of need. And every day, I'm sure we're faced with some needs here or there or demands of others upon our lives. And God says, be at peace. Be at peace. Be led by my Spirit, not by what you think you should do. Don't should on yourself. Let you be led by the Spirit. He says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I will make your path straight. So Mary did a very gracious thing based on faith that God had given her. She said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. So she received the word of the Lord. She actually was impregnated with the word of the Lord. And he said the Holy Spirit would come upon you. That's like creation back in the Old Testament when it said the earth was void and formless and dark and that the Spirit hovered upon the face of the earth. And then God spoke and said, and everything came into being. Here in this account in the New Testament, Gabriel said the Holy Spirit again will hover upon you, and he will bring forth the life of God into you. And why did she have to be a virgin? This is my opinion, is because if she had been with a man, then there would be a question mark. Is this really the Son of God, or is this a human being, which would be full of sin? Jesus had to be sinless. In the Old Testament, we know that once a year, the high priest would go before into the Holy of Holies with a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel once a year. Jesus is called the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world once for all forever. And so how could he be the spotless Lamb of God if he wasn't sinless? He had to have the blood of the Father flowing through his veins. He did not have the blood of the mother. When we are pregnant in the natural, our blood does not exchange with our child. We have nutrients that go through us to the child and waste material that comes through us, through the umbilical cord, from the child. But the seed that is impregnated us into our egg by the Father is what brings the blood flow, the plasma comes from. So we can trust and know that Jesus had the Father's blood type flowing through him as being the sinless Lamb. Elizabeth, it's interesting how John the Baptist and Jesus met before they were both born. And when the angel told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth was also 6 months pregnant with a boy, she went to visit her. And when she greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, "When you greeted me, the baby leapt in my womb." So John the Baptist was excited that the Messiah had arrived still within Mary, not yet birthed. And this brought excitement as well as peace. And Mary prophesied, and Elizabeth prophesied as well, when she said, "Behold, what did you say, Mary?" I really didn't get this down. Actually, I didn't write that down. She referred to the baby she was being carrying as her Savior, which shows that Mary wasn't sinless, and she's not to be venerated. But Mary was a vessel that God chose to use to bring forth his holy, sinless child on this earth. Jesus had to fulfill the law, and the law could not be fulfilled without it being obeyed from the Old Testament, which required a lamb to go as a sacrifice and be brought into the Holy of Holies. And who chose that lamb in the Old Testament? It was the high priest that chose the lamb. Now we'll see something that we haven't thought about before as Christians in the New Testament. After Jesus had grown And John the Baptist was baptizing people for the remission of their sins and to present the Lamb to them. When Jesus came to where John the Baptist was baptizing, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, John the Baptist was from a family that were Levites. The priests, the high priests, had to be Levites. His father, Zacharias, was a priest in the temple. As we have recount before, I know I'm probably making a lot of assumptions that you know these things, that John the Baptist, when the angel came to his father to say, he was acting out his priesthood at the time to whatever assignment God had given him. And he had unbelief, and so he was muted for the 9 months that his wife was pregnant, Elizabeth in old age, with John the Baptist. But they were both Levites, both Elizabeth and Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people for the remission of sins, when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So that was the priest presenting, "This is the perfect Lamb of God that's going to be prepared for the sacrifice." And when Jesus talked to him, had his discourse about he had to be water baptized to fulfill the law. Again, Jesus had to fulfill the law. And so he was baptized, and when he came up out of the water, the Father said from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was just the solidifying that this is the Lamb of God that the high priest has pronounced as being the sinless Lamb of God. The Father agrees with that statement, and he would eventually, in his 33 year of life, be sacrificed for the sins of the world. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, why did God want us redeemed from the curse of the law? Because it was a curse. No one could fulfill the 613 commandments under the law and stand before a holy God. We couldn't enter into the presence of God when they walked in the Old Testament under the law. That's why their sins had to be atoned for once a year. And then they didn't have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. They relied on the priest to do that for them, or they relied on Abraham or on Moses, someone else, but not them individually. They feared God, but in an unholy way, really. God wants us to have an awesome fear of respect for who he is, but he loves us. We're his children, and he wants us to be able to come into his presence without fear and open his refrigerator and say, "Daddy, I'm here," and have fellowship with him. And so that was prevented because of the law. The law was a schoolmaster to point out to everyone that they had sin. And Jesus came to wash away that sin and to nail upon the cross every sin, every accusation brought against us by the devil, and to proclaim, "Father, your children can come home to you now through my blood." He was the final lamb sacrificing. When Mary came to him and in the garden when he had been resurrected but had not yet ascended before the Father into the Holy of Holies with his blood. He said, "Mary, don't touch me." When she said she saw that he wasn't there, thought he was a gardener, and then her eyes were open, and she said, "Master," and fell down to touch him. He said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father." He had to fulfill the whole law by taking the blood to the Father in the Holy of Holies. And then we can enter in by his grace and his mercy and in the name of Jesus. So God doesn't want us to be anxious about anything, but with everything, through prayer and supplication, to make our requests known unto God. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is finding your quiet place and sitting in the presence of God in the name of Jesus. And he will commune with you by his Holy Spirit. You can hear God. You can ask God a question, and you can hear his answer. If your soul is quieted down, your mind and your emotions are submitted to the peace of God that passes understanding, and you can commune with him and he with you. He says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus." So favored indeed was Mary. Blessed indeed was Mary. But I guarantee you that Mary, once she received the truth that Gabriel spoke to her, the word of God Gabriel was sent to speak to her, she received the word of God. And she said, "Let it be done according to your word." She no longer had fear. She had an understanding that, "Let this be done. Thy will be done, God." And that's where God wants us, to acknowledge him in all our ways. Then he makes our path straight. And we submit ourselves and our choices and our thoughts to God's will. And when we do that, we are in the peace of God that passes understanding. So as we look to the Advent that we're in, a peace that Christ, we're looking for the birth of Christ now to come, and we're celebrating that Advent. But there is going to be another Advent when Christ comes again to fulfill totally what he did for us on the cross, and that's taking us out of this world. He said, "You're in this world, but you're not of it." And that's how we have to learn to live, in a dark, fallen, evil world with lots of hurting people. God said, "You're in this world, but you're not of it. They're of it. You were of it before you received Christ." But he says that we're to let our light shine in this dark world, that we're to be an example of the living Christ, so people have a hope and people can have peace, that there is a Savior that they can receive and their sins can be washed away and forgiven, and they can have the promise of eternal life with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. This is the blessed hope that we have, eternity with the Lord. But in the meantime, God has called us and equipped us to do a work here on this earth with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he's enabled us with, he's gifted us with. And he's given us his Holy Spirit, he said, that I won't leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send my Spirit to you, and he shall endue you with power to enable you to walk in this dark world. And God wants us to touch the lives of the hurting, touch the lives of those that are bound in sin, that have strongholds, drugs, alcohol, pornography, lust, in this world, people are bound in sin, and we have the words of truth. We have the words of life. But how will they hear if we don't share? And so we share through our actions. We can quietly share by doing a gift that God's called us to do. We have a neighbor that I noticed one day was mowing across the street from us is our mailbox, which we walk to. We don't own the property. And our neighbor is mowing and mowing and mowing all of that yard for George and me, so we don't have to walk through high grass to get to our mailbox. And I thought, Lord, that's a work of you. That's a gift from you that he's doing. He's letting his light shine before men that they may see his good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. And we too have good works that he wants us to do. Works that men will see, women will see, and it will glorify the Father. The Lord said, if people ask you, well, why are you doing this? You can share the hope that's in your heart. I'm doing this because the Lord wanted me to be a blessing to you. I'm doing this for you because the Lord. And we're to be salt and make them hungry for them to question us further. Well, who is this Lord? So we're able to share that our Lord is your Lord. Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And there are not many gods. There's one God and one way to the Father, and that's through his Son. And then we can explain the truth to those that don't know Christ and ask them, would you like for me to pray for you, to lead you to receive forgiveness for your sins, so you can have the blessed assurance that you can have eternity in heaven. Like Pastor Steve said last week when he talked on hope, he said hope is not something just nebulous out there that you don't have any knowledge of that hope, but he said it's an assurance. God gave us an assurance that we are going to spend eternity with him. I know I had another scripture somewhere. Where is it, Lord? That I wanted to read to us. And I will find it in my Bible. Uh-huh. See, Bibles come in handy. In 1 John 5:14, and I'll close with this. This is the confidence. That's what hope gives us, confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God wants us to know he hears us. He hears us. His ear is listening to us. We're his children. He wants to have communion with us. And if he hears us, he wants us to be able to hear him and be led by his Spirit. When his Spirit is prompting you to mow someone's lawn or change someone's flat tire or cook dinner for someone or give money to someone, that's God's will. If you're feeling prompted to doing something like, well, why God? Why do I feel like I should be doing this? It's because God's prompting you to do that. It's a blessing. He doesn't lead us in anything evil. He leads us in good. And that's going to bring truth and light and salt to those that are in darkness. And that's what makes us witnesses. We're called witnesses. Jesus commissioned them to be witnesses of him in all the earth. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.